Good afternoon, everybody. Thanks for joining. I will call the CROG Transportation Committee meeting for Monday, November 15, 2021 to order. And Karen, if you would be so kind as to do the roll call.
We start out with the town of Handover. Avon.
Larry Burrell from Avon.
Berlin.
Chris Edge, Berlin.
Bloomfield.
John Coleman, Bloomfield.
Bolton.
This is Kansas. Bolton. Patrice Carson, is that what you said, Karen?
Yes.
Okay, yes, Patrice is here.
Thank you. Canton.
Neil Paid Canton.
Columbia. Coventry.
Todd Penny, Coventry.
East Granby.
Granby Kirk Severance.
No, East Granby.
Okay, East Granby. My apologies.
Gary Haynes, second. East Granby.
East Hartford.
Doug Wilson.
East Windsor.
Lynn Norton.
Ellington.
Tim Webb.
Enfield. Farmington. Farmington. Glastonbury.
Dan Pennington.
Granby.
Going around.
Severance.
City of Hartford. City of Hartford. Hebron.
Kevin Kelly, Hebron.
Manchester.
Jeff LaMalva.
Mansfield.
Derek DeLay, Mansfield.
Marlborough.
Yeah.
City of New Britain. Newington. Plainville. Rocky Hill.
Black Rocky Hill.
Gary Fristemer from Newington.
Thank you. Simsbury.
I'm Roy Simsbury.
Summers.
Todd Rollins, Summers.
South Windsor.
Jeff Doolittle from South Windsor.
Southington.
Annette Turnquist from Southington.
Stafford.
Devin Copperwood, Stafford.
Suffield.
Karen Isherwood.
Tolland.
David Corcoran, Tolland.
Vernon.
David Smith.
West Hartford.
Greg Summer and Jim Brennan from West Hartford.
Thank you. Weathersfield.
Eric Greger.
Willington.
Trace Pizzato, Willington.
Windsor.
Adam Kessler, Windsor.
Winterlocks.
Jen Rodriguez.
Is there anyone from GHTD?
Yes, Mary Deppy.
Thank you. Is there anyone else from any other organization?
I missed it. Jonathan Teesey from Bloomfield's here.
Thank you.
Karen, Russ Arnold's here.
Oh, thank you.
Eric Anderson, Town of Andover.
Thank you.
Grayson Wright, CT Dot.
Is there anyone else?
Martha Kelly from CCEJ.
I'm sorry?
I said Martha Kelly from CCEJ.
Martha Kelly?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Chuck Harlow with Fuss and O'Neill.
Jim Culpa, VHB.
Will Britnell, VHB.
You repeat your name again, please? Will?
Will Britnell.
Thank you.
Kristen Soloway, Austin O'Neill.
Is there anyone else? All yours, John.
Thank you very much, Karen. Move on to item number two, public forum. Is there anyone from the public that wishes to address the committee at this time? Hearing none, we'll move on to the adoption of the minutes of our meeting.
Hold on. I'd like to speak, please.
Hello, who is this?
Hi. This is Jay Stange in West Hartford.
Okay, Jay.
Hi. Good afternoon, everybody. I just wanted to check in and let everybody know that there's a standing invitation for a multimodal meetup this Friday, November 19th. It's being hosted by Bike Walk Connecticut, BC Company, Bike West Hartford, and we are inviting folks to join us at the Weeha Roasting and Brewing Company for an informal conversation about how we can improve active transportation routes between West Hartford and the city of Hartford. If anybody would like more information, you can reach out to me at jstange@gmail.com. Love to talk with you more, and thank you for the opportunity to make this announcement.
Thank you very much, Jay, for your participation and your welcoming to us to your event. Any other members of the public that wish to make any comments? Okay, we'll move on to the adoption of our minutes of the meeting held on October 25, 2021. I'd entertain a motion to so do.
Patrice Carson, Bolton, so moved.
Thank you, Patrice. Second. Thank you, Chris. Any additions, deletions, corrections? Hearing none, all in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions. If you're abstaining, please state your name and your town.
Tim Webb, Ellington.
Russ Arnold, Farmington.
Any other abstentions? Thank you very much. The minutes are approved. Move on to staff reports. Roger, the conduct safety targets.
Yeah, so your packet included this memo on the conduct safety targets. Conduct's required to submit to Federal Highway their five targets for the five safety measures. And Federal Highway requires metropolitan planning organizations to either support the state targets or set their own targets. And so attached also to this memo is the DOT's technical memorandum explaining their selection process of how they chose these targets. So I've included the past 5 years listed as shown there. So this year's targets, fatalities, 270, fatality rate per 100 million vehicle miles traveled, 0.85, serious injuries, 1,300. Serious injury rate per 100 million vehicle miles of travel, 4.3, and non-motorist fatalities and serious injuries, 280. So also attached, I have just on the second page of that is a draft resolution for the policy board approval. And we are suggesting that this be approved at the December Transportation Committee meeting. So this is included for your review. And if you have any questions, be glad to field those now. Otherwise, that's what we had to present for today.
Thank you, Roger. Any questions, comments? I would only add it, not very optimistic.
No, the just like one number of the fatalities already this year, the draft Yukon Crash Repository is already showing 290 fatalities for 2021.
We went through this, two or three years ago, where we just don't have the ability to come up with our own, but we all had some questions about whether or not these were, the state was being aggressive enough to address these issues. That would be my same comment now. It just seems that, they're sort of accepting what is as opposed to trying to see if we can solve it. It's not a happy rate.
Right.
All right, so we'll act on it at our December meeting. Thank you, Roger. Satoria,
okay, you're welcome.
Lots of quarterly report.
Okay, thank you, John. Good morning or good afternoon, everybody. So this is the quarterly report. It's as of September 30th, so there were some changes since then. But this is, just so you know, this is your project as of September 30th. So it's based on the two spreadsheets that are attached to this report. So the information is itemized on those two spreadsheets. So if you have additional questions, you can review that as well. So Conduit issued an authorization to award letter in the amount of $1,043,400 for one project. That was for Plainville Town Line Road. And so congratulations to Plainville. Since then, we've also had some other ones, but just so you know, this is as of September 30th. And then to date, this is the only project that has been awarded because we've just gone through quarter one. Five projects, however, have received authorization to advertise letters and or have bid their projects. So in the amount of $11,157,904. So just to kind of reiterate what's on here, Suffield Mountain Road has already bid out the project, and we're in the process of providing Conduit with a recommendation so that they can issue the authorization to award letter. So they're just about almost ready to go in construction. Stafford has been issued an authorization to award letter, and they will be going into construction, I think, in the springtime. Coventry as well, Swamp Road intersection, they've already received their, so this will be reflected on the next quarterly report, the amounts. And Hartford has also gone out to bid and will be receiving theirs shortly as well. And Vernon Dart Hill Road Bridge has gone out to bid or will be going out to bid shortly. So congratulations to all those towns that have advanced their project to this point. So that's wonderful. And hopefully next quarter, you'll see a substantial award. CROG received 9 design submissions. We anticipate receipt of 17, and those are designated by the green highlighted, and then the yellow is ones that we've already received. So we're hoping to receive 17 in quarter two. 4 are preliminary design submissions, 5, 90%, and 8 are final design submissions. We have already received some final design submissions. 42 projects have been awarded or completed construction. So that's since the inception of the program. So that's wonderful. Conduit did issue 4 commitment to fund letters. They're listed here. So congratulations to those towns as well. And then we already have received a few additional ones after the September 30th deadline. So we're moving these projects along. So congratulations to Glastonbury, Hebron, and also to Farmington. 4 applications were submitted to Conduit, and we anticipate submitting more. And then there were a few projects that require some scheduling updates. One of the first ones is Kensington Bridge from the town of Berlin. I don't know if Mike Ahern is here. If not, I will reach out to him and have an explanation for or a scheduling update for next quarter. Is he here in the meeting? No?
I don't believe he is, Victoria, no.
Okay, thank you. Thanks, Chris. Manchester for the Bidwell Multi-Use Trail did have their 90 design submission was rescheduled from August to November, and we anticipate receiving that shortly. But I don't know if Manchester, if Jeff DeMava is here, he can kind of explain it a little bit further.
Hi, Satoria. Yes, we do plan on submitting, probably not exactly on the 20th, but shortly thereafter. It's really just the rights of way is holding us up at this point, working with Eversource for a small easement. But we do anticipate getting something in very shortly.
Thank you, Jeff. And then the last one is Bloomfield, Blue Hills Avenue. They had asked Conduit to combine 2 projects. So I know there was a delay in submitting their design, but I think Jonathan was here. He could explain it further.
Yes, thanks, Satoria. Good afternoon, everyone. So we were at, you know, completing our 90% design and waiting on our encroachment permit review from District 1. And as part of the budget, the state budget this last year, we put in a request for an Urban Act grant to extend the, right now the project runs from the town line with Hartford to Elizabeth Avenue, but we put in to extend the project for another, I think it's 700 feet to 1,000 feet, something like that, up to Britton Drive as part of an Urban Act grant. And we were awarded that grant. And so at that point, it just made sense to combine the two projects for a lot, you know, just for convenience and efficiency. So we talked to both the, you know, DOT and DECD, and they were both amenable to us doing that. So since that time, VHB, our consultant, has been, you know, incorporating the final design for the extension into the project. And that is complete. Right now we are waiting on a couple comments from, two utilities that are affected, not significantly, but we are ready to put the 90% submittal into CROG in one way or the other. Even if we don't get those, we'll deal with those comments if there are any by at the final. But so we are planning on getting that submittal in. Right now the schedule is before Thanksgiving, so that will be in, and we'll move forward then to, you know, getting hopefully to our final bid package. So that's where it stands. Oh, and then one other thing I just wanted to mention with respect to the project is we also, as part of their VIP program this year, the state repaved, milled and re-overlaid this section of Blue Hills Avenue. And working with the state and their vendor, they did restripe the roadway to the road diet that is proposed under this project, which is going from four lanes, two in each direction, to a single lane in each direction with a continuous turn lane and wide enough shoulders for bike lanes. They striped everything but the bike lanes, so that's now out of our project. It's a little more convenient, and we don't have to mess with traffic as much for our project. And the feedback on that has been very positive from the residents. So that's my report.
Thank you, Jonathan. Anything else, Satoria?
That's it for me, unless anyone has any questions.
Any questions for Satoria? Okay, we'll move on to the Kara and the commuter parking lot utilization.
Thanks, John. So this past October, we went out and did our biannual survey of the park and ride lots in the region and counted how much they're being utilized. The good news is that this is the most we've seen out there since March of 2020 and the start of the pandemic. We are up about 182 cars, or 3% up from the spring. So we're looking at about 9% utilized right now compared to pre-COVID numbers that had been 32%. So still a significant decrease over kind of the normal baseline, but it was encouraging to see a bit of an uptick this time out. And we'll be back out in the spring hoping for a similar story.
Thank you, Kara. Okay, we're going to move on. Any questions for Kara? Yeah, we'll move on to the Boston Rail webinar. Tim?
Sure. So on Thursday, November 18th at 12 p.m., CROG and UConn, Department of Public Policy, are going to be hosting a webinar on the East-West Rail study that we commissioned last year. This study looked at the economic impacts that would be generated from the Springfield to Worcester rail service that's been proposed in Massachusetts. We commissioned an economic impact study of that, and it showed that the $6 to $8 billion investments would have a payback over 30 years that was 10 times the initial investment. We have Jim Redeker of FHI Studio and former commissioner of DOT as the moderator. And then we have presenters from the AECOM team and Dan Hodge, who's an economist up in the Valley. Also on the panel will be Mayor Luke Bronin of City of Hartford and Kim Robinson, Executive Director of the Pioneer Valley Planning Commission. Again, that's Thursday, November 18th from 12 p.m. to 1:30 p.m. And there's a registration link on our website as well.
Thanks, Tim.
And Tim, I just put that link in the chat for folks as well.
Thanks, Kara. That'll be well worth joining. Rob, want to talk about the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act?
Sure. If you've been paying attention to the news, you will know that the president is anticipated to sign into law the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act today. This is over $1 trillion over the next 5 years of investments for infrastructure. Note I mentioned infrastructure and not specifically transportation. The bulk of it is transportation, but it also includes a significant amount for energy, power grid, reliability, broadband access, and then smaller amounts for natural disaster prevention, water, wastewater, cybersecurity. But the bulk of it is in transportation. And this is a welcome bill in transportation. If you recall, I think in 2008, there was a $1 trillion, what they initially started as an infrastructure bill that got so watered down by both parties. By the end of it, very little went to infrastructure, and we were left, you know, I thought in a bad position with people thinking that there was $1 trillion spent on infrastructure when really it was just a small, small portion of that. This is the real deal. Over $1 trillion. It's a huge ramp up for all involved, for DOT. Just looking at DOT's numbers, DOT has done some analysis. They're looking at a 50% increase in federal funding towards their programs, which equates, when you calculate in all the state-only funds also, probably a 30% or so increase in their overall capital improvements programs. They anticipate having to, between the consulting sector and DOT, get or hire an additional, in addition to people leaving and replacing them, an additional workforce of over 350 people, probably 400, something of that range. So it's going to be a big effort. Over that equates that 50% increase in federal funding equates to 400,000 anticipated in formula, 400 million a year in formula funds to be distributed, and an additional anticipated 200 million in grant funds, competitive grant funds that they hope to get. It could be more, could be less in the grant fund category, but at a minimum, it's 400 million a year in transportation monies going through CONDOT, federal funding for various capital improvements. So it's a big effort coming forward. It's going to be a big effort on everybody's part. The bill has changes to requirements for MPOs, which CROG is. So we will have more responsibilities. We'll probably have some more funds to do those responsibilities, but everybody is parsing through the bill now. There's probably going to be a bunch of federal rulemaking coming up to interpret portions of the bill and to set deadlines and things of that nature. So we are watching intently and reading up, and we'll try to react accordingly. But it should be noted, I mean, you know, there's going to be that 400 new people is just on the design and planning side. I mean, how much the contractors are going to have to ramp up is going to be massive also, although there'll be a delay in when they get the projects on the street. But we're all going to be in a very competitive environment for getting contractors on board to do our projects. and probably a competitive environment for getting engineers to design our projects and all the way through. So that's the news. It's a big bill. So if you have any questions, I'm sure most of you have read up on this quite a bit. So I don't know if I have more information than you guys, but I'd be happy to share what I have.
Thank you, Rob. Any questions for Rob? I'm sure there will be going forward.
Rob, how much of this is likely to percolate down to actual towns? And how much of that is likely to be kept at the state level?
There's a number of programs that flow through CROG that towns do design for. And one is like the TA set aside, which is the trails and as such, which we had a solicitation for a while ago. And luckily we submitted a bunch of contingency projects that were beyond the limit of what we anticipated in the next bill. And the good thing about that is we selected these contingency projects, and I don't know which, I forget which towns have them off the top of my head, but there's going to be, that program went up by 70%. So it's likely that we can dip into quite a few more projects than we actually selected. We had selected 4 projects. It's likely that those of you that were on the supplemental list, there may be enough funding for those also. If we're in need for more projects, we'll have to go out again. There's additional CMAQ funding, which we just had a CMAQ solicitation, but the short end of that is we'll probably have a solicitation. If we were due to have one in 3 years, it'll probably be moved up, closer. So I'm thinking as far as federal funding goes, there's a lot more that will percolate down to towns through some of those programs that flowed through CROG. And on the side, I only know the transportation side, so I'm not sure how they handle the wastewater and all those and the broadband and everything else. Those are different agencies, so I don't know about how much percolates down from that.
Any chance of bump up Town Aid Road?
I don't think that's related. I mean, it depends on our, state legislatures and stuff like that. But STP Urban has gone up quite a bit. And how we coordinate that, previously LOTSIP was a replacement for STP Urban. And I'm not sure if the state's going to be willing to up their game on LOTSIP. If not, we have an argument to solicit for some of those STP Urban monies that, the extras, that whatever the increase was. So we're still figuring that out, but I think we'll be providing more guidance on that. So it's unclear whether, how the state will react to that increase. In STP Urban, seeing previously they were matching that amount with LOTSIP.
Seems to me they either got to match it or we get the overage. It's technically the region's money.
That's where it's standing. So we're keeping an eye on exactly how much that is, and we'll have to coordinate with them to get their stance before reacting.
Eric, there's probably a ton of opportunities for money coming to municipalities, not only in transportation, but in a whole bunch. There's, it's probably going to take 6 months to get it all sorted out, but there's some real, at least, short-term funding opportunities. The problem is you got to make sure that you spend it in a way that you don't get caught short when that funding runs out 3 to 5 years from now. All right, Rob, you're still up with the TIP amendments.
Yes, we have 3 TIP amendments on the table here. One is a statewide project that's almost $13 million. They're all sign replacement projects. And these are all due to the signs being in need of replacement physically. There is one area where, if you recall, we are the feds are mandating that we go to a mileage-based system on all highways for exit numbers instead of the numerical exit numbers. I know out in the eastern part of the state, 395 is that way already. I think we provided guidance a few, back in 2019 as to the schedule. The rest of the highways will be done by the end of the decade. There's only one of these involves changing of numbering, and that is on US Route 6, which doesn't really impact our region that much. It just barely crawls into Columbia. The rest are just replacements due to wear on the signs. So we're asking for approval of these. As mentioned, only that one is the renumbering. The renumberings for the remainder of these routes would be in the latter half of this decade.
Thank you, Rob. Any questions? If not, I'd entertain a motion to approve the TIP amendments.
Patrice Carson, second.
Any discussion? All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Who made the motion?
Chris.
Who made Chris Etch? Thank you.
Any abstentions? It's unanimous, Karen. Thanks, Rob. Sartoria, lots of funding increases.
Thank you. Thank you, John. I'm just going to briefly go through them since we discussed them at the subcommittee meeting. So the first one is Simsbury Hot Meadow Street connectivity project. It was originally approved as a 4,000-foot standalone sidewalk project for $809,600, and that was in the 2020 solicitation. It's currently progressed through the 90% design phase, and based on the most recent engineers' estimate, the town of Simsbury is requesting a lots of funding increase of $445,979 from the $809,600 to $1.255579. It's a 55% increase. This was discussed at the subcommittee meeting, and they recommended that it be approved by the Transportation Committee. And the memo was included in your packet.
Do you want to act on them individually or all?
It's up to you. I can do all three. You want me to do all three?
Yeah, why don't you?
Okay, please. Sure. Okay, so the second one is West Hartford, and this is for Troutbrook Phase 6 Multi-Use Trail Project. And this was originally approved for $355,200. In the 2014 solicitation, received a subsequent increase approval in 2017. It made the total project $512,400. It's progressed to the final designs phase, and based on the most recent engineer's estimate, the town of West Hartford is requesting a lots of funding increase of $370,800 from $512,400 to $883,200. It's a 72% increase. This was also recommended for approval at the subcommittee. Okay, and then the third funding increase request is from Windsor Locks Downtown Complete Streets Improvement Phase 1 project. This was originally approved for $2,907,600, and that was in the 2015 solicitation. The town received a commitment to fund letter in June of 2018 for approximately $3.5 million. The project has progressed through the semifinal design phase, and based on the most recent engineer's estimate, it has increased, the town is requesting an increase of $2,392,400 from the $2.9 million to $5.3 million increase. It's an 82.2% increase, and this would cap the lots of funding at $5.3 million. Just to reiterate what was discussed at the subcommittee meeting, the town has agreed to opt out of the 2022 solicitation and also did not pursue a 2020 solicitation project in anticipation of the funding increase request. The subcommittee also recommended this for this increase for this project for approval in the subcommittee.
Thank you, Satoria. Are there any questions on any of the three projects? Hearing none, I'd entertain a motion to approve the scope and modification request as presented by Satoria and recommended by the subcommittee.
So moved, Arnold.
Say again?
Russ Arnold, so moved.
Thank you, Russ. Is there a second?
Yes, second.
Thank you. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Any abstentions? Karen, it's unanimous. Thank you all. Thank you, Satoria. And now
thank we'll you. On
to Satoria, you and Rob on the draft 2022 solicitation selection policy for LOTSIP.
Yeah, thank you. This was also discussed in the subcommittee with recommendation to approve the changes. We have some minor changes in red. There's not a lot of them to our approved selection policy that we thought were important to get in there. And the reason for these changes, we wanted to align them with anticipated changes to CONDOT's LOTSIP guidelines, which we, in coordination with CONDOT, we've been coordinating with various units at CONDOT over the past 6 months, trying to make the program more efficient and see what kind of changes they had in store for the next update of the guidelines. The major change to the guidelines that's anticipated is to the pavement section, which was included in this packet. They wanted to clarify different requirements for different types of categories of pavement treatments, and they've divided them into four categories. Two of the categories are rarely used, and we have two categories in our guidelines. So we're just trying to align how they categorize and their terminology with our selection policy in our guidelines. We have just pavement rehabilitation and reconstruction. They're having four categories. What they term pavement preservation would fit under our rehabilitation category and compete against those projects for rehabilitation funding. And then what they have as major rehabilitation, which is peel and pave or reclamation, really fits under our guidelines under reconstruction. We've always had those projects under reconstruction and not subject to the 15% cap that CONDOT has on those types of projects. And they have agreed that those do not fit under the 15% cap. So really what we're trying to do is align the two, their new guidelines with our guidelines here. We've also, this is in addition to these changes, CONDOT allowed us to, we asked for and CONDOT allowed us to utilize consultants for doing some more of the reviews of pavements, visual review, which you all had an opportunity to participate in. The deadline was Friday, of pavements to categorize them, and then later to do reviews of the town designs. So hopefully we get everything straight before it gets to CONDOT. CONDOT has reviewed resumes of these firms and is on board or is in the process of reviewing some other information we gave them. So far they're on board with everything, and this is to try to take more control over the review of pavements and get it, hopefully CONDOT will be less involved in the pavement reviews going forward. That's their indication to us, and you know, there's no guarantees, but that's hopefully how the program progresses. So really the request here though is specifically for the guidelines to align text for both for our guidelines to kind of match up with what their new policies are going to be, which were draft of those are included in the handout also. So we'd ask for your approval.
Thank you, Rob. Any questions or comments? Again, the subcommittee recommends approval, and I'd entertain a motion to approve the solicitation process policy as presented by staff.
Patrice Carson, so moved.
Thank you, Patrice. Is there a second?
Second, Tom Roy Simsbury.
Thank you, Tom. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstention? Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Move on to a resolution approving the Route 5 study final report. Pramoid?
Thank you, John. Good afternoon. In our last meeting in October, we presented that draft recommendations and implementation plan on Route 5 corridor study in East Windsor. And at that time, we also reported that the study final recommendation plan was under public comment period. The public comment period has ended on November 1st, and we did not receive any additional comments. So also the town council board of selectmen endorsed the plan at their last meeting on November 5th. So at this time, I trust you all had time to review the report. It's beautifully written. And we would, we're asking you to endorse the draft recommendations and implementation plan at this meeting and send it to policy board for approval and adoption.
Thank you, Pramoid. Any questions? I'd entertain a motion to approve the resolution.
Patrice Carson, so moved.
Thank you, Patrice. Second? Someone out there.
Tim Webb Ellington.
I think Tim got it first. Thank you. Any discussion on the motion as approved, as recommended? Hearing none, all in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? It's unanimous, Karen.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, Pramoid. All right, number nine, Roger, discussion on the regional roundabout screening.
Yes, we have a short presentation to give on our Capital Region roundabout screening study. And if you go to the next slide, we have as introduction, this is a screening study of all the intersections, many of our intersections in our whole region. It's a CONDOT funded study, part of our work planning program. It is somewhat unique in that we're looking at such a large number of intersections in our entire region. Primary goal to reduce crashes and also to improve traffic operations. So CONDOT, we, CROG, put together a, went through CONDOT's consultant selection process. And we selected VHB as our consultant and got them on board to work with us on this unique study. And I'm going to hand it over to Joe Balskis with VHB. He's the project manager, and let him give us a short presentation on what we're going to do.
Thanks, Roger. Good afternoon, everyone. Next slide, please. So just real quick, Roger mentioned this unique study. It is very unique. It's a prototypical project that CROG has the foresight to look to the future with screening intersections for roundabouts. And the objective of this project is basically to determine which intersections are most likely to see significant improvement in traffic safety and or operations if they're converted to a single lane roundabout. And we're looking at 120-foot diameter roundabout. We're looking at local and state roadway intersections that have at least a minor collector and interior road on one approach. And we all know that roundabouts obviously are safer intersections. They reduce crashes by 80%, fatal crashes, injury crashes by 80%. So there's a lot of data out there, a lot of studies out there from the Federal Highway Administration regarding the safety of roundabouts at intersections. Next. So the study team, as Roger mentioned, Craig is running this from Connecticut DOT, Grayson Wright, and the traffic and project development team. From VHB, myself as project manager, I'm excited to be part of this. I've been involved with roundabouts for a number of years now. Also joined by Will Brittnell, the roundabout champion from Connecticut DOT. He's part of our team, senior advisor. And a couple other individuals, Dale Abbott, our applied technology manager, and Eric Tang, our senior safety engineer. You're going to see more of this kind of setup on future projects when you have a project like this that's really data intensive and using that data on a large scale to come up with recommendations for intersections. We also have sub-consultants, Tian Bond and Veen Engineers on our team. Next. So scope of work follows the typical CROG scope of work, six tasks. Project management is obviously our first task. The real bread and butter of the work is task two, where we develop the selection criteria methodology. And what does that actually mean? It's taking the crash data we have from the UConn crash data repository, collecting it and looking at the weighting of it in terms of severity, and looking at crashes that could be addressed with a roundabout intersection. We'll then look at the traffic volumes for those intersections from pre-pandemic levels, look at thresholds as they apply to single lane roundabouts. We'll look at the geometry of the intersection, and this is in a larger scale that we'll look at in terms of diameter. We'll also look at congestion and hotspots and low score locations, locations that may be suggested by you, the committee, which you'll hear about in a minute, and how we're going to survey these locations from you. And then finally, a constructability check, about 100 locations where we do a desktop review. We're not going to go out to the site, but do a desktop review, and you'll hear Will talk about that in a minute. Next. And the other tasks regarding collecting the data, as I mentioned, preparing a draft report with a screen and suggested locations, and outreach. Not public outreach per se, but outreach to you, the committee, and the policy board. Today is one of the first meetings where we're going to talk about this a little bit more, and an interactive map and survey that we're doing. And finally, a final study report with the GIS data that we're compiling and assembling, and a ranking of, we're thinking at least 50 of the top recommended locations in the entire capital region. Next. So with that, I'm going to hand off to Eric Tang and talk about some of the examples that we're running with our crash data. Eric?
Great. Thanks, Joe. Good afternoon, everyone. Eric Tang of VHB here. As Joe said, you know, we're trying to screen the number of intersections to a more manageable amount here. We could conceivably analyze every single intersection, right, in the region, but that would definitely be a waste of time. And not a full waste of time, but we want to be strategic and be data-driven in our approach. So we're trying to leverage a number of systems that have been developed in Connecticut already, namely the Connecticut Crash Repository, as well as the safety management system. UConn has assisted CONDOT with the development of these programs, which help to automate a number of these analyses to a certain extent. So what you see here on the screen, at least the larger image, is an automated output that shows intersections, highly ranked intersections on the state network based on the severity ranking, as Joe had mentioned. So as you can imagine, a fatality crash would be, quote, worth more than a fender bender, right? You know, there's a more societal impact from a fatal crash. So through the scoring system, we're able to identify at least a shorter list of intersections for consideration for a roundabout construction. Then for the local network, because there actually isn't a automated intersection layer, if you will, in the automated system, we are taking the crash data from the crash data repository and overlaying it with the intersection layer that we've been able to obtain from CONDOT in GIS, infusing that information together to also come up with a scoring system for the local roads. And as you can imagine, there are also a whole bunch of local roads, you know, your cul-de-sacs, your crescents. No, we're trying to focus on at least a collector roadway network. You know, we're not trying to analyze every single local street. We want to make sure there's actually some traffic on some of these thoroughfares. So ultimately, we're coming up with a list of intersections from at least the collector level. So a combination of the local streets as well as the state roadway network within the CROG region, and coming up with a subset of intersections that then we can further analyze through the geometric fitment, which you'll hear about, as well as combining it with input from you all with the interactive mapping, because, you know, the data only tells us some things because the crashes have to occur, right? But I'm sure from your personal experience, there are probably close calls and other incidents that you've experienced that can help further refine the selection of intersections.
Dale?
All right. So we've prepared an interactive website with a mapping component to it. As Eric just mentioned, we have all of the, we've been working on developing the intersection locations. So we've prepared an interactive GIS mapping website where you all will have access to view the results of the data, but also to provide feedback on the results that we're generating. So on the left-hand side here, you can see the interactive map that we've got set up. You can see the preliminary intersection locations. We've got the crash data. And then in addition to that, we've set up a survey form that's linked back to the GIS. And we'll go ahead and walk through that survey form right now. And this will be distributed to you all or the appropriate folks for a comment on the study. So next slide. So just a few simple questions on the form. So we collect the municipality that you're representing, your position within the municipality. And then there's a text entry box for entering in questions or concerns that you have about the study. And so next slide. So you can see how it works. We have a drop-down menu to make it easy for you for selecting the municipality, your position, you know, within the municipality, just through dropdowns. And then on the next slide, this is where we have the ability to enter in your questions. So just standard, you know, text entry. And there's a second component to the survey, which allows you to actually physically comment on an intersection location. So if you've got some feedback on, you know, just your experiences within the region and sites that you want to make us aware of, you can go ahead and do that simply by clicking on the map. When you click on the map, you'll have the ability to zoom in. You can see over on the right-hand side, once you zoom in, road names and other information are available. Click on the map. And then, let's see, I think we have one more slide. Once you click on the map, this is where you can put in comments specific to that location. So in a matter of about five or six clicks, you can go ahead, submit this information, and you have the ability to add multiple intersection comments at a time. And when you're all said and done, you'd hit the submit button, which is shown with the green button on the bottom to submit your comments. And this will come in through GIS. We'll have this as a resource to us when we're doing our screening. And next slide. Joe, do you want me to cover this or?
If you want, and then Will can chime in. Yeah, if you want to start it with how we're going to do this. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So as we mentioned, we're compiling a GIS database. We've got all the roadway data. We've also been provided with parcel boundaries. We have environmental data sets, resource data to come up with this geometric fit. So once we identify the location, we're going to apply 125-foot a buffer around that location. And we're going to compare that to, you know, the geometry, you know, can we actually put in a roundabout at this location? And so the sources of this information are from, you know, GIS data from within the CROG region. We've reached out, we've obtained GIS data from Connecticut DOT and any other resource data available, because it's not just, you know, this is really when you get into, you know, the desktop review, which we'll be talking about next.
Okay, so thanks, Dale. This is Will Britnell from VHB. At this point, once we've gone through the initial screening process, we're going to have a ranking. And of those top, we're saying a maximum of 100 locations, we're going to do what we're calling a desktop review, which is basically just looking at the locations on Google Earth or Street View. And we're trying to, at this point, look for things that are going to jump out at us for obstacles, whether it's in constructability or constraints, as we're going to call them, such as, for example, major utilities. Now, utilities can always be relocated, but if they're major utilities, then of course that becomes a cost issue. But as well, we usually look for things like topography. You know, from looking at it from up top, you don't really necessarily see that there might be a severe drop off at the intersection, for example. So we'll note those types of things, as well as historic and cultural resources. For example, in that bottom picture there, you see some monuments. This is a location that I looked at years ago for a possible roundabout. And although we wouldn't have to have relocated those monuments, we would have been coming close to them. So it's just something that we would note in the GIS map, so that going forward, if this particular location was chosen, for example, there would be a note that, hey, we might have something that we have to be concerned about. So anything that we find in this desktop review would be noted in that GIS map. Next slide.
And so I don't know if it's me or you, Roger, but the schedule itself, we've outlined the schedule here. You can see here today is our first committee meeting, and we're going to look to have your feedback from the committee by mid-December, basically a month from now. And we'll provide that link in the PDF handout that'll be distributed to everyone from our presentation. And then with a final report, obviously June of 2022. So that the plan is to get this in good shape through the wintertime, initial locations in February, and then complete our desktop reviews in March, and finally with our draft in May, and done by June 30th. I think that was the last slide, I think. Oh yeah, any questions? Yeah. So we'll update the survey link for the survey that Dale just showed you in the PDF that we'll send out. And any questions, call Roger or myself.
Very good. Thank you, Joe and the VHB team. So that's an overview of our study. We will get that link, as Joe said, out to our Transportation Committee members so they can access that GIS survey and map that they demonstrated. And then we'll get that to you in the days ahead, and then hope to get your input by mid-December. And that'll be one of some of the input that we'll use for our screening. And feel free to reach out to myself with any questions as we move forward.
Thank you, Roger. Any questions at the moment? Well, thank you to the entire team. We look forward to your preliminary and final report. Sounds like fun.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right.
Any other business to come before the committee, either from the staff or members?
Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. You too.
Well then, as we put in place a motion to adjourn, happy Thanksgiving to all of you. Be well, be safe, and I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
So moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Motion is approved. Be well, everybody, and have a great Thanksgiving. Thank you, staff.
Thank you. You too.
Bye, guys.